Om Gyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I'll give a rough translation of the kirtan that we just sung. It's composed in dialectic Bengali with an admixture of dialectic Hindi and one Sanskrit word, tatra. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, in Godruma Dham, that part of Navadvip Dham, one part of Navadvip Dham, which is very conducive for bhajan. Bhajan here means the act, mostly hearing and chanting about Krishna, deity worship, and all these activities which are meant for cultivation of Krishna consciousness. So that is Mathura Sri Nandishara Shamatule, which is literally, well, yeah, it means it's the same as, it's non-different from Nandishara in Mathura Dham. So there, in Godrum, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, at my cottage in Surabhi Kunja, the first of two properties that Bhaktivinoda Thakur took in Godrum. First he took Surabhi Kunja, and then he took another property which he developed what he called Swananda Sukhada Kunja. I don't know why he moved from Surabhi Kunja. So he says, at that place, I will sit, means I will reside, on the bank of the river that is dear to the demigods, means Ganga. Well, actually, Jalangi flows just there. So, then I will wear that kind of dress, that kind of clothing, which is dear to the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and will be beautified by tilak and tulasi mala. Then he mentions the name of different trees, which gives the first three of them give flowers, especially known as flowering trees. These flowers are very dear to Krishna. Champak, Bokul, Kadamba, and then also Tamal, which is also very dear to Krishna. Ropata Niramebo Kunja Vishala. So I will plant them and in this way make a big kunja. Kunja means forest grove. Then Madhavi Malati, these are vines, creepers, Lata, which I'll make them go up. I'll arrange for those also to be there. And they will make a... Can I see the English? I wonder if there's a mistake in the Bengali. What's being given here? Chayam Mandab is given, should be Chayam. Yeah, there's a Bengali is written as a spelling mistake in the Bengali. So I'll make a Chaya Mandap. That means with these creepers, they'll make shade spreading over the kunja. Then I will also plant there different varieties of plants. Many, many of them. Making a little forest. Kushum, Juti, Jati, Mali. These are names of different flowering plants. Birajabhoshaji, decorate the whole place. Monche Bashaubu Tulashi Maharani, on one munch. So in this context, munch means, I'm sure you know what it is. It's used to be in Tamil culture also. You make a plinth, and you put on top of that tulsi. That was all over India. Now it's gone. Still some places you see. In front of the house, there'll be a plinth with tulasi. So, and kirtan sajja, the items required for kirtan, which means mridanga kartels, maybe a gong, and some mats, I suppose, and to sit on. Maybe some chandan in Bengal at the beginning of kirtan. First they'll put chandan on mridanga, kartels, and then on everyone else, then on all the performers. Kirtan shajja tahi rakabani. I'll bring it and place it over there. Vaishnava shahal gaubunam. There, with the devotees, I'll sing the holy name. Jai Godrum, Jai Gorki Dham. Maybe they'll sing that also. Maybe in the Jai Dhani at the end. All glory to Godrum, glories to the Dham, the holy place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhakati Vinod, Bhakti Anukul. Bhaktivinod likes everything that is favorable to devotees, or he himself is favorable. He himself is favorable. Jaya Kunja, all glories to the grove, forest grove of Godruma. Munja means that reeds, I suppose, is growing at the side of the Ganga. Shura Nadi Ku, the bank of the Ganga. So, we're singing this on the Avibhava Tithi, the appearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which we celebrate as Vyasa Puja or Saraswati Puja. There's one quotation, I don't know how to find it now, how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that people, they mostly celebrate the Saraswati Puja. That's just a few days ago that's gone. The regular Saraswati Puja comes on the same day as the Vasant Panchami, first day of spring. So he said that people, they celebrate Saraswati Puja, but we celebrate it. And then he gives the date of the, it's the, what would that be? That's, well, I could look it up. On this day, giving the titi, expressing his non-difference from Saraswati. So, why are we singing this song? Of all the songs of Bhaktivinoda, why this song? It doesn't seem to be particularly related to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. It's about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's aspirations to live in Godrum and make a cottage, make a little grove and a cottage suitable for bhajan and sit there with the Vaishnavas and chant the holy names. So, what's, I mean, there are many songs of Bhaktivinoda. Why choose this one on the appearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? You may be wondering. Well, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Is the from external view, he was the son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And from internal view, he was also certainly the son, but in a more meaningful way than some product of biological interaction. So actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he did make his house there. Later, he built his house. He had a cottage at Surabhi Kunja. It seems to have been just a kacha, or not very solid cottage. There are different kinds of kacha cottages you can make. One is just out of grass that won't last very long. Out of, you split bamboo and then you make some screens like a Karamandurai, that cottage. So that won't last very long. And or you can make it in Bengal from mud, from local clay. That also doesn't last very long. Neither of them last very long. So he seems he has a cottage there, but then later, for some reason which I don't know, it's a matter of research, means you have to ask someone or look through his writings and see. He acquired another piece of land in Godrum, and there he built quite a, it's not exactly a cottage, it's quite a good house, and at Swananda Sukhada Kunja. And there he would engage in all these activities with few devotees with them at the time. That's described by Bhakti Pradeep Tirtha Maharaj. I didn't put all of it in this Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav because it was more directly about Bhakti Vinod. I did mention some of it, but it's a very, what's the word, nice description of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, how when he was living at Godrum, every day in the afternoon, which is the traditional time for reciting Shastra, there's times of days for everything, so after lunch is the time of day for when people would hear. So it means they're busy in various activities in the morning, and after lunch when it's hot outside, then they're here, Shastra. But this is for householders, people who don't have the time to engage fully in spiritual activities. So they would regularly read Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Jagadish Bhakti Pradeep, who later became Bhakti Pradeep Tirtha Maharaj, was there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur would have Siddhanta Saraswati read from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And there'd be a few others. Sometimes Gorky Shah Das Babaji Maharaj was there also. Just a small group. And from time to time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he would intersperse some comments while Saraswati Thakur was reading. And then sometimes Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just in ecstasy on hearing Chaitanya Charitamrita, would stand up and dance in the middle of the reading. So he was doing this. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he aspired to go to Vrindavan, but Divyavani, by spiritual instruction, he was told that there's so much work to do in Navadvip. So better you, his idea was to go to Vrindavan and concentrate there, but instead his service was concentrated on Navadvip Dham. And no one has performed such service to Navadvip Dham as Bhaktivinoda Thakur has. It's an inimitable service. Just like Srila Prabhupada went to the West alone and preached Krishna consciousness all over the world and made that possible for everyone else to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. It's nabhuto nabhavishyati. It's the kind of thing that can be done once only. You can't have someone else do it. Although, of course, it's quite possible, as in Bengal, the whole movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can become largely lost to misinterpretations, in which case Bhaktivinoda and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came and re-established it. So that's, but the actual establishment of the movement in the West was done by Srila Prabhupada. So similarly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he discovered Navadvipa Dham. Of course, everyone in the Gauriya Vaishnav world knew very well that Navadvipa Dham is the appearance place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But especially establishing that Mayapur is the actual birthplace and not some place in Kulia or another place in Ramchandrapur, which were claimed as the birthplaces. Bhaktivinoda Thakur established that. He not only established that, he made a temple there in Mayapur at the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he discovered so many places and he delineated the nine islands and their relationship to the nine processes of devotional service. So in so many ways, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he presented Navadvipa Dham to the world. And he resided there, and the idea is that people should come to Mayapur, to Navadvipa Dham. Bhaktivinoda Thakur especially gave importance to Godrum. As the place of Nityananda. So he worshipped Gaur-Gadadhar there. And yeah, so that was the ideal for Gauriya Vaishnavas that Bhaktivinoda Thakur established. So you should come to Mayapur and engage in bhajan, worship. Godruma Kanana Kunja Vidhum, worship the moon of the groves of the forest of Godrum. That was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's ideal, which he himself sometimes, for some time, he did that, but he didn't finally settle in Navadvipa Dham as he had planned to. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he comes from Bhaktivinoda. And everything about Bhaktisiddhanta, if we want to know Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, then we have to know Bhaktivinoda. That's why this Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, even though it's only an introduction to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, it is very much incomplete without a similar work on Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Because a Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, it should be understood that he is the manifestation of Bhaktivinoda. He is non-different from, in all respects he is non-different from. Of course, all respects means there's also Bheda Bheda. You may say there are many differences. That's also true. If we say that he's non-different in all respects from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that is true. If we say there are many differences also, that's also true. How is that possible? That's called achintya. Achintya Bheda Bheda. It's non-different. In all respects, that means there's nothing in Bhaktisiddhanta which is not Bhaktivinoda. Differences are apparent or superficial. There's no actual difference whatsoever. Saraswati Krishna Priya Krishna Bhakti Tarhiya Shei Shei Binode Vaibhav. In one of his many kirtans, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote that Saraswati is very dear to Krishna. Krishna Priya, he wrote in the feminine form, means that he's referring to the goddess Saraswati. Krishna Bhakti is her heart. She is the Vaibhav, the glory, the grandeur, the opulence of Bhaktivinoda. So, disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati found in this that this is also referring to those who can see to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who is non-different, who himself, by stating that the Saraswati Puja is performed on this day, today, not on Vasant Panchami. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he himself, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur obliquely established that he's none different from Saraswati. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in this way, it's seen that he obliquely said that Saraswati, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, is very dear to Krishna. Krishna Bhakti Tar here, his heart is Krishna Bhakti, and he is the Vaibhav, the glory and grandeur of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is certainly a fact. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his Vaibhav, his glory and grandeur is complete and perfect in itself. But that also he produced Bhakti Siddhanta adds to his complete and perfect glory. Again, this may not sound like it makes sense, because if something is complete and perfect, then how can you add to it? You can't. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he added to, or rather manifest in other ways that had not been manifest, the glory and grandeur of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Silence from the Tamil section. Sorry. Anyway, maybe you can make a summary later on. So, what was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati doing in his life? He was doing one thing, which is manifested as three things. He was fulfilling the order of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he was also fulfilling the order of Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So that's one thing. Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj told Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to propagate the message of the Shatshandarbha, the six treatises of Jiva Goswami, leaving aside all other works. Do not do anything else. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur told Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to reside at Mayapur, at the Jogapit, the birthplace of, or to oversee the affairs there at that temple. The temple had been established, but simply to establish a temple in the middle of, although Mayapur is the center of the whole universe, it's the center of the, not only the material universe, but of this little egg, Brahmanda, little egg-shaped blob in floating in the causal ocean, but Mayapur is the center of the spiritual world. But from a material point of view, it was just, as it said in English, in the middle of nowhere. There was a train station a few kilometers away. And in between there was just some field, some uncultivated land, some jungle. The train station, Dubulia, small stop. And then Krishnanagar was there. On the other side was Surupganj with the toy train railway. as they call it, narrow gauge. But the easiest way to come was to get it from Calcutta, which is the center of the British universe in India. That was the capital, and even when the capital was shifted to Delhi, still Calcutta remained economically, culturally, strategically most important to the British. So Calcutta was where it's all happening. So from Calcutta one could get, the easiest way to go to Mayapur is to get a train to Krishnanagar, still people are doing. Then you change trains and get on the toy train, as they used to call it, to Swarup Ganj. Then you walk down to the ghat and hope that there's a boatman there, because it's not, nowadays there's so much traffic all the time. There are two boats going back and forward all the time between Swarup Ganj and Hulaghat, Ishodhya. But in those days, who would, it's rarely, who's going to go there? Just few villagers living on the other side, that's all, Muslim villagers. So hope there's a boatman there who ferries you to the other side, and then you walk up the road, right? There was no road. Just fields, that's all, with the stubble and all this. Some fields, like that. And then you come to where? To Mayapur. Who will know? This is the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur made a temple there. So he established a temple, not that big temple that you see now. That was, the big temple that you see now was established in 1927. Quite some years after the passing away of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. If you enter the main, at the main entrance, and then you go forward, and on the right is the Pukur, which is Gorakund, and then you turn left, and then you're taking darshan of Radha, Madhav, and Vishnu Priya, Lakshmi Priya, Gora, and Jagannath, and the Panchatattva. And then if you keep on going, you come to an office building. So the first, that's been developed, there was a, the first room was the temple that Bhaktivinoda Thakur established. And then the rest of the building's been established later. So there was one little, it was one little building, one little, that was the temple. There was no residential, there's no proper residential place. Later Bhaktisthan Saraswati made a grass hut there for living. So the temple was built, but how is it going to go on? Who's going to want to stay there? You need a Brahmin to do the worship. Bhaktivinoda Thakur made the standard that only someone born in a Brahmin family can do the puja. That was the standard everywhere. Except in temples like of people who are eating meat and they have their own temples. But in any Vishnu temple, then should be a someone from born in a Brahmin family who worships. But how are you going to get anyone to stay? A place full of snakes and scorpions. It's very difficult to get any food or anything at all. And people want to live with their families. And which families are going to come and live in the middle of a, just a wilderness? No one to talk to. It's just a difficult situation. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent Siddhanta Saraswati to oversee the affairs at the Jogpit. It means you have to get enough donations to run on the place. You're not going to get donations from the local Muslims to run on the place and to pay this stipend of the pujari and meet people who come, because people did start to come. Not in hundreds and thousands, but people would come and see that everything's going on properly. So he was told to oversee the affairs of the Mayapur, and specific instruction, or that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave to Siddhanta Saraswati, was to serve Gaura Nam, Gaura Kam, and Gaura Dham, which means the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the abode of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mayapur Navadvip Dham. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also said of Siddhanta Saraswati that he has come to this world, you have come to this world for two main purposes. One is to preach the pure chanting of the holy name, because there's plenty of chanting going on, but what is Shuddha Nama? This was, of course, a point that Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself much delineated, specifically in his Harinama Chintamani. What is the pure chanting of the holy name as compared to the offensive chanting of the Sahajiyas, Prakriti Sahajiyas, who were running amok in Bengal at that time? Bengal, Orissa, Vrindavan, Assam, these areas. So that was one purpose, and the other purpose is to establish Daivi Varnashram Dharma, which is another point that Bhaktivinoda Thakur stressed very much in his writings. One great misunderstanding of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings regarding Varnashram, which is going on to the present day, right within our ISKCON. Great misunderstanding that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he asked Ramananda Rai to explain Shaddha Sadhana Tattva, the topics or the understanding of the goal of life and how to attain it. So the first proposition given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was by Ramananda Rai, was Varnashram Acharavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnur Aradhyate Pantha Nanyat Tattva Shakaranam. A statement from the Vishnu Purana that following the Varnashram system, everyone should follow their duties according to Varnashram and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Vishnu. In this way, one should worship Vishnu, and there is no other way to satisfy him. Statement right from Vishnu Purana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected that, saying, Eho Bhajya, this is external. So since that time, it's been misunderstood by certain persons who claim themselves to be followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Varnashram has no relevance whatsoever in the lives of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is not borne out by the Acharyas. The Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas in their commentaries. There are various points. Jiva Goswami says that one verse is there that Pranam Punati. What is that verse? Third canto? I don't remember at all. Pranam Punati. That one is. If one is born in a family of dog-eaters, he purifies himself and all his generations if he's a devotee of Krishna. But if he's not, even if he's born in a high Brahmin family, he can't even purify himself, what to speak of others. How does that verse go? Anyone? No. Svapacha Varishta. Vipradvishadaguna Yuta, I can't remember it. Aravindanabha, it goes. Anyway, I can't remember. Anyway, that's the purport of it. So, Jiva Goswami commenting on this, that means if there's a Vaishnava too, he can perform yajna. The point is that a Vaishnava becomes qualified to perform all activities, but Jiva Goswami says in his next life he could be. But then other acharyas, I believe Vishwanath said that right now they're qualified. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he stressed this more than any other Gauriya Vaishnava acharya, that Varnashram is required. And he said that Indian civilization has developed to such an extent because of the scientific division of society. And he said that the Western countries, they're like our younger brothers, because they came much later. And they've become very strong and very powerful and very arrogant. But he said they cannot last very long because they're not based on any scientific social principles. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very much for re-establishing Varnashram on the proper basis, Daivi Varnashram, not on the basis of birth alone, but on the basis of quality. And with the understanding that Varnashram is meant for Vishnur Aradhyate Panta, is meant for worshipping Vishnu. It's not simply a social organization, but the social organization is specifically centered around worshipping Vishnu, without which it becomes an asuric arrangement. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in various books, especially in his Chaitanya Shikamrita, he has stressed this very much, that it's required to establish Daivi Varnashram. And he charged Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Well, he said that these two points, you've come to the world for these two points, to propagate the pure chanting of the holy names, as distinguished, that's not specifically mentioned, but that's understood, as distinguished from the offensive chanting, and to establish Daivi Varnashram. So you see what a big task, but these two points are given. So Daivi Varnashram, how important it is. And the Sahajiyas, they say Varnashram is all external. We don't need that. We're Vaishnavas. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw that because of this misunderstanding, the Vaishnav Sampradaya had degenerated into something horrible, quite opposite to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's actual teachings. The Vaishnav Sampradaya had got such a bad name for fostering illicit sexual connections, among other things. That was the most prominent blemish. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw the very great need that to establish this, and he gave that task to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who took that Varnashram establishment to a certain level. And Srila Prabhupada wanted to take it the full way. That's another discussion. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said these two things Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has come to this world, been sent to this world for. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave three specific orders to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So I said that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his whole life was one thing, which is following the orders of his gurus, and that is divided into three. The three is serving Gaura Nam, Gaura Kam, and Gaura Dham. The name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the holy dham of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So how Gauranam is served, that is served by chanting those names. So we see Bhaktivinoda Thakur from this song. He was preaching, but the aim was that the preaching is not exactly like a, preaching Krishna consciousness is not exactly like establishing a political party or Christian missionary work in which we are, the main aim is to increase the numbers. Now that is there, the increasing the numbers is there, but it's not just a matter of having a badge and saying I'm a member of this club or this political party or this sampradaya or this religious organization called ISKCON. We saw in Trivandrum there was a Marxist rally. So it's not just a matter of collecting people and saying that these are, now we have expanded the numbers and we've got more people and we're outdoing someone else. Or we're still behind others who are our competitors. But the real aim, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, even at the expense of all my mutts and all my properties, if I could turn one person to be a pure devotee of Krishna, I would consider my mission successful. So, wide outspread, outside propagation, but the aim is to be Krishna conscious, to be absorbed in love of Krishna. And for that, the dham of Navadvip is very favorable. One can do that anywhere. One can go on with Krishna consciousness in any place. One can do that. Here in Salem also, you can, in your home, if you have any land, most of your homes, they don't have any land with them at all nowadays, the people. But in previous days, when people weren't so advanced, everyone would have a little land in front of their house, even the poorest people. And pretty much all Hindus, even non-Vaishnavas, they would keep a tulasi munch in the front. And early in the morning, they'd come with a lamp and do some arati to tulasi. It was a normal thing. Everyone would do. Have you seen? You've seen in Bihar. Have you seen? You're nodding also like that. Vijay Gopinath. Have you seen? You've seen. So these kind of things we want to revive. I saw also in Bora Bazaar in Calcutta in the late 1970s, early 1980s, very packed residences on Marwari's Kalika Street. And they have some railing, little veranda, and they'll keep their tulsi there. They don't have any space, any land, but there's four or five story building, and everyone will have tulasi on just in the little veranda. They used to do. So this life of bhajan, we're bringing people, but we want that everyone at home or in the holy dham, they will perform these activities of bhakti. So it's Krishna conscious movement is on one side a very big movement with many people, but at the same time, it's a very small movement also, because little units, few devotees here and there. Of course, if you have a big center, there may be huge kirtans, but otherwise people in their own home, they're chanting Hare Krishna, or few devotees in an ashram, small ashram, maybe there, in which the... He doesn't mention deities here. He also established the deities, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of Gaur-Gadadhara, in Godrumadham, Radha Madhava, in the Jogpeet.
So, and then the main thing he's saying, sitting and chant with devotees. Maybe a small group. Doesn't have to be a very big group. Maybe a small group, just a few devotees. Chanting Gaura Nam. And Gaura Kam is that the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be spread, preached everywhere. Priti Vite Ache Jato Nagaradi Gram Sabhata Prachar Hoibe Morana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my name will be preached, will be all over the world, in every town and village. So it's well known how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati applied himself to that, spreading the holy name, preaching Krishna consciousness. He's famous as a great preacher of Krishna consciousness. And Gaura Dham, how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he did so much work in Gaura Dham. What he intended to do is by no means completed. Many desires he had for Gaura Dham. In each island, he'd have a temple with the deity of the particular devotee who's connected with Shravanam. There's Parikshit Maharaj, so with the deity of Krishna who they worshipped, and like this, he had many desires for developing Gaura Dham. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura is very famous for fulfilling the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in preaching Krishna consciousness very widely and strongly. But it's not independent from individual bhajan. It's not that we're just working, but he gave so much stress on bhajan. Bhajare bhajare amar manati manda. Bhaja braja bane radha krishna charana aravinda. Bhajan bina gati naire. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, another of his songs, sings that bhajare, perform bhajan, worship Krishna. My mind is very bad. So worship Radha Krishna, the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan. Without bhajan, there's no progress. We won't go where we're supposed to be going to. We won't reach there. So he was stressing all these things. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told his disciples to sing this song regularly, daily, in the morning. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, while promoting widespread preaching, he was also among his disciples promoting we should do bhajan, and he himself would also. Even while he was spreading Krishna consciousness so much, he would sometimes go away to Hamsa Kshetra, which is a place in Nadia district where there's a temple. Place he identified that as a place where it's called Hamsa Kshetra. Hamsa Kshetra, that would be in Bengali. Hamsa Kshetra. The place where in previous ages, the Nadia district, some little distance from Navadvipa, where great hamsas, great saintly persons would gather and discuss Shastra. So he had a small temple there. He would go there, and he liked to go there from time to time for writing and for bhajan, for personal absorption in contemplation, or just being quiet and not having the so many things going on as you have in a preaching movement. Just go away and concentrate on the essentials. During Kartik month also, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would go with a few select disciples and spend the whole month absorbed in bhajan. Sometimes in Puri, Mayapur, Dhaka, Mathura, Radhakund, different places, he would pass Kartik months. So Yeah, he would stress. It seems that followers, disciplic followers of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they tend to stress one or the other. In many Gauriya Math devotees, they stress a lot on bhajan. You have to do bhajan, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. All generations of Vaishnavas, you have to do bhajan. And it may be within our ISKCON that we stress a lot on preaching. And some devotees, they stress a lot on bhajan. But they, from my estimation, they tend to do so in a somewhat imbalanced manner. Imbalance means they may have their own personal high realizations, but it's not meant for public propagation. That's one thing that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is very strong about. And then he would do his Kartik Vraja and all. And then, but preaching to the public was a different matter altogether. And even preaching to the devotees in general, he generally was very reticent about discussing what we would call higher topics. So combining the two, actually prachar and bhajan on the transcendental platform, there is no difference. There's difference and non-difference. But one cultivates Krishna consciousness by preaching Krishna consciousness. Then we shouldn't make so much a distinction between the two. For one who's actually a preacher, his bhajan is also preaching. For one who's not preaching, then they don't really have any bhajan anyway. Because how are they pleasing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Of course there may be. There are. Gaurakishore Das Babaji, he didn't do outside preaching. Still he would preach. He didn't make any specific effort to go out and do so. So, who has got the time, the energy, the lifespan? They could make more research. A lot of work is required. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his teachings. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is well known for his songs. But actually, apart from his songs, he had so much writing. Very important works. Among his writings, Chaitanya Shikamrita, Joiva Dharma, and Harinama Chintamani are well known. But there are many other very, very, very important books. So, that should be done. Not exactly in a way that the mundane scholars would. In fact, not in some ways maybe like them, but in a completely different attitude. Not like the mundane scholars. Mundane scholars means they have no entrance into this subject matter at all. But the methodology might be somewhat similar. Collecting whatever information is available about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, analyzing that. And the analysis of a devotee scholar is quite different to that of a mundane scholar. A mundane scholar is by definition mundane. He doesn't see any transcendental link. He'll ascribe material motivations and defects to these spotless pure devotees. Therefore, they should be kicked in the face. Repeatedly. But an actual scholar who is seeking the blessings of Saraswati. In Vedic culture, there's no question of being a scholar without seeking the blessings of Saraswati. You can't play any music or do any performance, drama or dance or make any scholarly presentation or write any such thing without the blessings of Saraswati.
So first of all, we have to worship Saraswati.
We do so by worshipping our gurus, who are Sarvadeva Maya Guru.
They are the representatives of all the demigods, and specifically Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati
is Saraswati, Shuddha Saraswati, the Saraswati of the spiritual world, not the Dushta Saraswati, the former Saraswati who gives all wrong knowledge to people who wish to be misinformed, the mundane scholars.
So, by the grace of Saraswati, if anyone can study this, it's a big job, and show what is the heart of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He has said, Saraswati Krishna Priya Krishna Bhakti Tarhiya Shei Shei Binoda Bhaiva. Saraswati is very dear to Krishna. She is, her heart is Krishna Bhakti. She is the glory and grandeur of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, who will make research into his life and his teachings and show the parallels with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and the apparent differences also? Who will do that? To show for the very few people in the world who might be interested. People are more interested in pizzas, offering them to Krishna, if you remember. They're more interested in this kind of thing than going into finding what is the heart of our sampradaya. Unless we find, how will we find our own heart? Unless we are blind people. We don't know. If we follow our own heart, then we'll go to hell. There's this saying in New Age, follow your heart. Then you'll go to hell. Because your heart is full of kaam, krodh, lobh, all bad things. On the train, as we were just coming, just opposite us, one man had on his t-shirt some message that love is life. And if you miss love, then you miss life. Interesting observation. It's true, but it has to. But we should understand that Atendriya Priti Ichad Tare Bale Kam Krishnendriya Priti Ichad Hare Premana. We should understand what is the difference between lust and love. So they're anxious for love, but they can't understand. I just wanted to love, and love should be so wonderful, but I ended up in hell, in this life, and in the next life also. What went wrong? They didn't hear this verse. Real love means love for Krishna. So, we should be very anxious to understand what is the heart of our gurus. The heart is, that Krishna himself says in Bhagavatam, that sadhunam hridayam mahyam sadhunam hridayam toham mananyate na jananti naham tebhyo managapi. The devotees are my heart. And I am the heart of the devotees, because they know nothing but me and I know nothing but them. So we should be very anxious to know what is their heart. We sing Guru Mukha Padda Bhakka Chitete Koriya Oika Ana Kariha Mane Asha. That we have no desire than to make the words from the lotus mouth of our Guru one with our heart. So we've made such a proclamation that we want to, our heart, our very being, we don't want that to be our own. We've given that to the gurus. Gurus means those who speak on Krishna Bhakti. So you can say, I give my heart to my guru,
That's a very nice sentiment, but that means Guru Mokapadavaka Chitete Kriya Aika, that we make our heart one with the words, one with the instruction of the Guru. We follow what they say. That means not only their instructions, but their whole consciousness. We can make our consciousness one with them, then that is the success of our life, because their consciousness is bhakti. Therefore, the gurus are bhakti vinod, bhakti siddhanta, bhakti vedanta. So their consciousness is full bhakti, with no material, no consideration, and simply how can Krishna be satisfied? So we have proposed to make our heart one with the hearts of our gurus. This is surrender. Surrender doesn't mean that may mean on the physical platform, just like in a, you may be captured by some enemy physically, and then you surrender. It means you're under their control. You become their slave, but not voluntarily. You do so because you want to stay alive. And but you don't give your heart to them. You're just hoping for the opportunity when you can change the roles, and you will enslave them. But voluntarily giving our heart to our guru means what? Trust. Complete trust. And complete trust that by doing so, I will discover myself. We have this thing, discover yourself. But we are not independent beings. We're not just some independent center of consciousness that operates separately from all others. Or we may not even bother about all others. But our constitutional position is as the servant of Krishna, or more, even more precisely, the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. So by making our pure position is to make our heart one with the hearts of our gurus, but that doesn't mean that individuality is lost. Rather, our pure individuality is revealed by the guru, and that also we see at the higher stages. The guru gives direction on what is your spiritual personality, with the various characteristics. What is your name, your dress, your bodily features, your residence, and your service, which gopi you're serving under if you're a servant of a gopi, and so on. So, a lot of research. Who can do this? Someone can do. That will be a great enrichment for our sampradaya. Whoever can do that. So, Hare Krishna, I'll stop here unless there are any questions. I'd like to read more.